Vayam. We. To. Then. Satchat. Directly. Bhagavan. O Lord. Bhavasya. Of Lord Shiva. Priyasya.
Very dear.
Sakyuhu.
Your friend.
Shana.
For a moment.
Sangamena.
By association.
Suruchikitsyasya.
Very difficult to cure.
Bhavasya.
Of material existence.
Vichyoho.
Of death.
Vishaktamam.
The most expert physician.
Twa.
You.
Adya.
Today.
Gatim.
Destination.
Gataha.
Have achieved.
Sma.
Certainly.
Translation: Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet.
Dear Lord,
by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva,
who is very dear to you,
and who is your most intimate friend,
we were fortunate to attain you.
You are the most expert physician,
capable of treating
the incurable disease of material existence.
On account of our great fortune,
we have been able to take shelter
at your lotus feet.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.
It has been said, Harim vinā na śrutim paranti.
Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya, the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. The Prajetas receive the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the supreme devotee of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavana yata shambhu. The most exalted Vaishnava is Lord Shiva, and those who are actually devotees of Lord Shiva follow Lord Shiva's advice and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who are simply after material prosperity, are in a way deceived by Lord Shiva. He does not actually deceive them because Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people, but because the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva want to be deceived, Lord Shiva, who is very easily pleased, allows them all kinds of material benedictions. These benedictions might ironically result in the destruction of the so-called devotees. For instance, Ravana took all material benediction from Lord Shiva, but the result was that he was ultimately destroyed with his family, kingdom, and everything else because he misused Lord Shiva's benediction. Because of his material power, he became very proud and puffed up, so that he dared kidnap the wife of Lord Ramchandra. In this way, he was ruined. To get material benedictions from Lord Shiva is not difficult. But actually, these are not benedictions. The Prachetas receive benedictions from Lord Shiva, and as a result, they attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is the real benediction. The gopis also worship Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, and the Lord is still staying there as Gopishvara. The gopis, however, prayed that Lord Shiva bless them by giving them Lord Krishna as their husband. There is no harm in worshiping the demigods, provided that one's aim is to return home back to Godhead. Generally, people go to the demigods for material benefit, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, text 20. Kamaistas tara dit jnana. devataha. Tam tam nyavam asthaya prakritya niyata svaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender under demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. One enamored by material benefits is called aritta jnana, one who has lost his intelligence. In this connection, it is to be noted that sometimes in revealed scriptures, Lord Shiva is described as being non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are so intimately connected that there is no difference in opinion. The actual fact is Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Vada Sabda Vritya. The Supreme, only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his servants or devotees. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Leela, 142nd verse. This is the real fact. And there is no difference of opinion between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in this connection. Nowhere in revealed scripture does Lord Shiva claim to be equal to Lord Vishnu. This is simply the creation of the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who claim that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. This is strictly forbidden in the Vaishnava Tantra, Yastu Narayanam Devam. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma are intimately connected as master and servants, Shiva, Varinchi, Nutam. Vishnu is honored and offered obeisances by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To consider that they are all equal is a great offense. They are all equal in the sense that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all others are his eternal servants. So, Vayam Dusakshar Bhagavan Vapasya Priyasya Sakyukshanak Sangamena Sudushikitsyasya Bhavasya Vachur Vishaktamam Twadya Gatim Gata Sma. So, Omagana Tivadandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurvaina Maha. So it's interesting that one result was attained by the Pachetas and a different result is attained by demons like mentioned here, Ravana, of course, Kumbhakar, and all these other demons who associated and prayed to Lord Shiva. And in spite of all of them having association with Lord Shiva, and we have this verse that was quoted previously, sarusanga, sarusanga, sarva shastra koi lava matra, sarusanga sarva siddhi hoy, that all perfection can be attained by like 11th of a second association with a devotee, lava matra. That means like 11th of a second instance association with a pure devotee. So why is it that the demons didn't attain all perfection, and the devotees, such as the Prachetas, attained all perfection by association with Lord Shiva? A very interesting explanation for that. Prabhupada gives an explanation, a little bit of a metaphorical explanation. He talks about how when a great devotee is giving class, sometimes there is a bug on him, or a bug on the same seat. And it is not that the bug is getting the same benefit, even though the bug is attending class, in one sense. And obviously there's some benefit. It's not that there's no benefit, because as Haridas Thakur explains, that the loud chanting of the holy names or Krishna Katha benefits even the inanimate living entities. But still, the bug is not getting the same benefit as those devotees who are remaining awake during class. Those devotees who are sleeping during class are getting the same benefit as the bug. Well, what can I say? You know, they're just, because they're unconscious. The bug is not conscious of what's going on. And those who are sleeping, it's the same thing. So you might as well be the bug. Of course, not too close, though. Unless we go whack, get rid of you. So, anyways, so stay awake. So, it's interesting. Comparing devotees of sleep to bugs. So anyway, But the point is association. Let's talk about association. Association is not actually being in the same physical proximity to a great devotee, but it's actually hearing submissively from a devotee, and that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Sushrusho Shraddhananasha Vasudeva Kataruchi. What is that? Sushrusho Shraddhananasha. That means to hear with faith. Faith means to accept and to execute. Not execute like that. The word execute has different meanings in English. It can mean to carry out a particular activity. You know, execute your duties. It also can mean execute the criminal. That means, you know, put him in the electric chair or something like that. So you're supposed to execute what you hear. That's faith. Shraddhananasya. Shushushro. Shraddhananasya. And then Vasudeva Katavruchi. Then by doing that, you get a taste for Vasudeva Kata. Now the difference is, with the demons, they don't have a taste for Vasudeva Kata. In fact, they are worshipping Lord Shiva to attack Vasudeva, or to attack Vasudeva's devotees. Vasudeva's devotees, sorry. Yeah, it's either Vasudeva, Vasudeva. Vasudeva means Krishna, who is the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva, you know, the long A or the short A? Vasudeva means Krishna, who is the son of Vasudeva. You know, Vasudeva and Devaki. So the demons are actually worshipping Lord Shiva and associating with Lord Shiva for a different purpose. And so they're not hearing submissively. They're going to Lord Shiva for a business proposal. It's different. Just like even with devotees, you know, sometimes, it's interesting, sometimes devotees raise the question or make the point that if you're doing business for Krishna, everybody who buys your product will make spiritual advancement. You ever heard that before? Of course, prasadam is one thing, yes. There's this nice devotee in Atlanta who's doing this nut business and everything like that. Very, very nice devotee. And he's selling nuts and like bliss bars and everything like that, right? So, yes, that's prasadam. But let's say you're working in Circuit City or something like that, or you have your own business. It's not that everybody who does business with you will make spiritual advancement by doing business with you. Or it's not that if you go to buy something in Circuit City, that Circuit City makes spiritual advancement because you bought something from them. Because it's simply a business exchange. And actually, Prabhupada said the same thing about people who do devotional service for a salary. He said that's the benefit they get, the salary, rather than the Krishna consciousness. Of course, I mean, they're chanting, that's a different thing. But let's say someone is actually, let's say I'm a sannyasi and traveling around the world, and then I get my salary, whatever it is, you know, $100 an hour or whatever. I should ask for more. That's not really going to meet my expenses, because I got to pay for all of you to eat. So let's say, actually, Prima knows my expenses are very high. So, isn't it? Travel expenses. I actually need more than that. So let's say I'm sitting here and I charge you for Bhagavatam class. Then it becomes a business exchange at that point. It's not actually devotional service because I'm doing it for the money. So Prabhupada really wanted to set up the society so the devotees would work voluntarily. Of course, the society can maintain the devotees. That's another thing. But if someone is making regular salary, the Prabhupada actually wrote letters about that. You know, it was in Los Angeles, actually. Prabhupada wrote a letter that devotees should not be paid salaries. They can be maintained, obviously, given a nice place to live. They have a family, given a few japatis every day. you know, pakora once a week or something, just to keep him happy. So, but still, then it's a business exchange. So it's the same thing with the people who approach Lord Shiva. It's simply a business exchange. They're not going to Lord Shiva because they love him, but they love what he can do for them. It's something like the, those stories we heard when we were young about a prince who was looking for a wife, you know, princess. That's a wife of a prince. And he was always afraid. I think you've heard these stories. He was always afraid that someone would marry him because he was the prince. I mean, obviously. You know, obviously, if you're the prince, you're going to have a long line of beautiful girls waiting to marry you, right? Those of you who would like to be a prince. And so, isn't it? A long line. That'd be good, Mahabharata. You could take, you can make your choice, you know. Just, anyone in the kingdom would be just like happy to go with you. So there's these stories that the prince sometimes, I'm sure you've all heard these stories, the prince would actually dress up like an ordinary guy and go out into the kingdom. And then at that point, you know, he would fall in love, or he would fall in love with some girl, and the girl would fall in love with him. And then he would reveal to her after they fell in love that I'm the prince. And then she would say to him, it didn't really matter to me. It doesn't make any difference in our relationship. You ever seen like that? It's such a romantic thing. It's so sweet. Makes me cry when I think about it. But you know, true love. True love. So it's something like Prabhupada said about Krishna. That Prabhupada said something like, I'm paraphrasing the words, you know, whether Krishna is God or not, we still love him. You understand? So that's really pure love. I mean, on the level of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, that, you know, whether or not Krishna's God, that's not that important. You know, he may be God, that may be one of the positions he holds. But still, we just love him for who he is. So that's really what love is. Love doesn't mean to love someone because of their particular position, but to love them because of who they are. Of course, in the material world, sometimes you have this thing like boy loves a girl because she has a good personality, even though she's ugly. But that's a different thing. Because in the material world, the personality, the beauty, the wealth, and whatever other thing, it's very temporary. You know, the opulences that people have. Just like we have. Wow, you want to give a class? It's almost finished. So we were talking about love. So in the material world, all these different opulences that people are attracted to, such as the opulences, of course, Krishna has them to an unlimited degree, you know, wealth, strength, beauty, and all those things, they're temporary. Do you want a cushion? Okay. Whereas, of course, Krishna's opulences are permanent. So when a boy is attracted to a girl, for whatever reason, it's actually just attracted to something temporary that has been lent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point is that the relationships in this world, and especially the relationships that the devotees have with Lord Shiva, are more or less like a business exchange. They're not worshiping him out of love, generally. They're worshiping him because of what he can do for them. And it's not bhakti. Whereas the relationship with Krishna, of the devotee, that devotees have, is done out of love, to please Krishna. Anyabhilashita shunyam, yanakarma navritam, anukulyena krishnanushilanam. It's done without any ulterior motive, shunya, devoid of all ulterior motives, like even liberation or sense gratification in this world. And then it's done actively, as Rupa Goswami describes in this nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's done actively, according to what Krishna wants, and it's done with the spirit of just trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is bhakti. So here we're talking about the devotees of Lord Shiva. Of course, Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And being a pure devotee, as it's mentioned here, he is very, very merciful. Vaishnavanam tam sham yata shambhu. He is the greatest of the Vaishnavas, very, very merciful. He is called Ashutosh. That means he's easily pleased and easily angered. And let's see, his position is that he is in a special category. He is not Vishnu. He is, sometimes people say Shiva Tattva, special Tattva category. And in the Brahma Sangita, it is mentioned that the glance of the Mahavishnu is called Shambhu. That is, this is actually in the purport by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Saikshita, the Supreme Lord glances at the material energy to implant the living entities within the material energy. And that glance is actually Shambhu or Lord Shiva. So in one sense, he's actually our father. In the material sense, he's our father. Of course, Durga is our mother. So these are some of the descriptions about Lord Shiva. And so we should... it's not prohibited, as Prabhupada said in the purport, to worship Lord Shiva. But we worship Lord Shiva as a devotee of the Lord, like we worship our own spiritual master as a devotee of the Lord. But if one worships Lord Shiva as the Lord, or is equal to the Lord, then that is, he is a Pashandi, as described in the verse, Yastu Narayanam Devam Ramarudraya Daivata Samitchena Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavetruvam, that he becomes a Pashandi, which Prabhupada translates as atheist, and Vedanta Maharaj gave me a different translation of that. Is it? What's that? He read from the dictionary. Prabhupada translates it as an atheist, or someone who's immoral, or something like that. So, any questions or comments? Or heretic, yeah. Heretic, atheist, like that. So what I advise people, this a practical thing, is what I advise people, especially in Fiji or other places where they're very attached to Lord Shiva, I don't tell them to take Lord Shiva right off the altar. I tell them, put them on a lower level, worship him as a devotee, and pray to Lord Shiva for devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. That way it doesn't offend them. Because if I tell them, you know, get rid of Lord Shiva from the altar, they actually get upset with me. And they reject Krishna consciousness. They say, you can worship Lord Shiva like the gopis worship Durga. There's this whole Katyayani Vrat. And they worship Lord Shiva in order to have Krishna as their husband. So there's no problem with respecting and worshiping Lord Shiva. In fact, I have a small deity of Lord Shiva on my altar. You saw that yesterday. And Lord Shiva, we need his mercy, as we need all Vaishnava's mercies. And he's, of course, the head of one of the four sampradayas, the Rudra Sampradaya. So any questions or comments? Ridanand Maharaj, let him give a comment. Yeah, no comments? Yeah, there's even a story that he met Lord Shiva and Durga. There was some hill, and I forget the name of the hill. He climbed the hill and he met Lord Shiva and Durga. And he would dance. And there was even that one devotee of Lord Shiva that, see if I remember correctly, that it was either Lord Chaitanya climbed on the devotee's head on the devotee's back, and he was dancing with the devotee. Do you remember that story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Something like that. Now, it was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and then Lord Chaitanya said, you know, basically he and Lord Shiva are non-different, not ontologically, but because they're one in purpose. And Lord Shiva is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And so they started to dance together, or Lord Chaitanya was on his head, or on his shoulders like that. So there's no prohibition. I mean, sometimes people get upset when we have some celebration of Shiva Ratri in the temple. And even in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that Nanda Maharaj from time to time would celebrate Shiva Ratri. There's no problem with celebrating it as a devotee. It's just like we celebrate the Vyasa Puja of Srila Prabhupada or any other great devotee. So what's wrong with celebrating Lord Shiva's Vyasa Puja? Because he's also a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. We had some discussion about that after the last Shiva Ratri. There's no problem, isn't it? If you celebrate him as a devotee, he's a wonderful devotee. He's so interesting that he tricks the demons and gives them benedictions that will ultimately cause their own demise or own destruction. He's a very wonderful personality. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. You got to turn it on. That's funny. That's funny. Jagadguru, you had a question?
Yeah. And it's oftentimes when people ask me what Krishna is, I start to describe the Bhagavan and six opulences.
Yeah.
And then I say that makes them all attractive. And then they say, a lot of times people say, well, that's not what attracts me to a person. I'm not attracted by material things like...
The point is, those six opulences are Krishna. They're none different than Krishna. Whereas the opulences that we have in this world, they've been lent by Krishna. Let's say you have some beauty or some intelligence or strength or anything like that. It actually belongs to Krishna. Like Krishna says, I'm the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, like that. It's all from Krishna, so they're an integral part of Krishna. Like Krishna is non-different from his body. We are different from our bodies, at least right now, until we realize our spiritual bodies. So to say that those things, you know, to see those opulences as separate from Krishna is not the right vision, because his opulences are non-different from Krishna. So if the person says, those things don't attract them to Krishna, what attracts them to Krishna?
They say, I'm attracted by a person's heart, or, you know, I'm attracted by the...
That's heart. Krishna's compassion. Krishna's compassion, Krishna's love. You know, that's fine, too. I mean, obviously, amongst the six opulences, compassion is not listed as one of them, but those are the primary opulences. Krishna has unlimited qualities. Like you find in the Nectar of Devotion, there's 64 qualities of Krishna listed. But there's actually unlimited qualities, or there's four different types of manifestations of his personality, Dhirodatta, Dhirodatta, Dhira Lalita, and Dhira Prashanta. But there's actually much more variety than that. Because like Vedananda Maharaj was saying the other day, that we read about a few of Krishna's pastimes. Maybe, how many would you say we read about in the 10th canto? A few hundred or something? A few hundred, but there must be unlimited. There are unlimited pastimes. Because every day Krishna must have performed, I mean, who can count the number of pastimes Krishna performed every day? I mean, at least hundreds. And then you got 100 times 365, and of course there's leap year too. Or in the Veda calendar, there's leap month. So that's Purushottama. So you got a whole month, extra month of pastimes there. And Krishna was on the planet for 125 years. And he was always young. So it's not that he got older and the pastimes got diminished because he was had to rest more. Like we get older, we have to rest more and we have some challenges, right? Now, Krishna, not you, of course. But, you know, we get older, and so Krishna's pastimes were unlimited every day, you know, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Even Krishna, when he was supposed to be sleeping, you can read in the Acharya's books, that Krishna snuck out at night and had more pastimes. And he snuck back in just before he was supposed to wake up. And then Mother Yashoda was wondering, why does Krishna look so tired, you know? If he's been sleeping all night long, why are all these marks on his body? From his she didn't know his pastime. She just thought they didn't give Krishna a good bath the night before. So, I mean, Krishna has unlimited qualities, unlimited opulences, unlimited pastimes. So we find a description of a few of them in the literatures, but it's basically, he's unlimited. In fact, Anantadev, who is the first expansion of Krishna, an expansion of Balaram, is glorifying Krishna with his many mouths, unlimited mouths, and he never comes to an end of glorification. What? Yeah.
People say that to you, they're bluffing. Because, in fact,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a joy of love, you know, like I'm gonna, sure, ultimately, you don't just marry someone because they're a champion wrestler or boxer or something because they have a lot of money. Well,
money, yes.
Yeah, money, yes. But in fact, you look at practically every person on earth who has now, it's always because he's popular. So the whole world is attracted to it. And sure,
yeah, he's renounced. He doesn't. He's up the kama. He's anything he wants, he gets. His swarat. He's independent. That's real renunciation. None of us can actually be renounced to that extent. And so that opulence is very, very attractive because when he interacts with us, that's a good point. When he interacts with us, then it's for our benefit because he doesn't need anything from us. You know, what do you give the person who has everything? The only thing you give him is your love, right? That's the only thing Krishna doesn't have, is our love. Everything else he has. Pretty interesting, isn't it? I would like to have everything. Anyway, so, at least all wealth. So, at that point, and that we should end. All glories to his divine grace, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada, Shri Jaya.